The reason why I picked two verses is because I want to focus on the first one, is how God is the potterer and we are the clay. And I'll mention the last one later, but before we start, is it all right if we would just pray and just invite God in his presence here? Dear Heavenly Father in heaven, Lord, just thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to be up here, that you can speak through me. And I pray that we will come together as a family and just meditate on you and just really behold how wonderful you have been in our lives. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a table and a clay. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not exactly a hearing listener. I'm more of a visual person. So I figured we can, you know, go to two different types of learning. So I am artistic. I like to paint and I like to draw, but I've never molded before. So when I was reading this verse, I'm like, oh, that kind of sounds easy. I've done like Play-Doh before. So that was the closest I got. But last night was my first time, and it's surprisingly a little harder than you think. When you first start off, you have to put a lot of pressure, and the clay actually becomes softer from the warmth of your hands. Now, this whole sermon is not going to just be me teaching you guys how to mold, because we can all do that in our own time, but there's a message in it. And so when I was, you know, messing with the clay, I was thinking, who in the Bible, whose life reflected molding, how God every turn was there just molding his life? And I thought of Moses. Now, there are so many stories on Moses. We could talk all day about Moses, you know, the Red Sea, the plagues, everything. But I feel the most important part of our stories is the beginning. And so I'm going to go to the beginning of Moses, before he was even born. So to set a little background, how the Hebrews even got to Egypt is Joseph. So when Joseph became a slave and he went to Egypt and God worked that wonderful miracle and gave him the dream and interpreted that there'd be famine in the land. Well, he worked alongside with Pharaoh, and eventually, you know, the famine did come, but they were prospered, and so did the other countries because of the whole thing. And Joseph brought his family in this time. Now, the other Egyptians had to sell their land and their cattle and eventually their service, because during this time they needed to pay for the food. But because the Pharaoh was so favored Joseph, that his family actually got a free pass. In a sense, they didn't have to pay taxes. They got actually a little chunk of Egypt that they could live. So the Hebrews prospered in this time. So they multiplied and they grew, but they were a very distinct race. They did not intermingle with the Egyptians. And eventually, though, Joseph died, and so did the Pharaoh. Well, now there's a new Pharaoh. And he knows of the Hebrews, and he knows how they got there, but all he sees is a mighty race who is not worshiping their gods, and all he thinks is, what happens if they align themselves with another country? What happens when they turn on us? So he was hoping to maybe break their spirit a little bit. So it's not that slavery just became an immediate thing. It was a slow gradual. So he ranked them up with other Egyptians that had sold themselves to pay off their debt. Well, eventually they put task makers, and then eventually their slavery became set. Now this is when Moses comes to the scene. Now, his parents, Jochebed and Amram, were devout Israelites of the Levi tribe. And when Moses was born, there was a decree that all the baby boys should be put to death. Now, this was all Satan's doing, because God had said that there would be a deliverer to rise up among the Hebrew people. And Satan didn't want that. And so at first it started off, and they did not. So he became a little more rash, and he ordered all of them to be thrown in the river. And his parents, when he was born, they say he was beautiful. There was something special about this child, and they knew it. And so out of faith, they hid him for 3 months. Now, I don't know if you guys are parents, but babies are loud, and it's hard to hide a baby that long. But eventually the time came where they could no longer protect him. So the mom With prayers, she made a basket, a waterproof basket, you know, with pitch and tar. And she set her baby in the river. Now, she dared not to stay by the river in case it looked suspicious that she's there in the first place, so she had her daughter, Miriam, watch it. Now, to most ongoers, it would just look like a child playing by the river, but she was keenly watching what would happen to her baby brother. They were putting this into God's hand. But she wasn't the only one watching. God was there too, and he sent some angels. He sent some angels to guide the basket to the Pharaoh's house, where the Pharaoh's daughter was there. And out of curiosity, she pulled the basket and she saw it. And immediately she understood what had happened, because it's not that she was blind. She knew exactly that, you know, all the babies were put to death. And she saw that, wow, a mother to go through this extent to save her baby. Like, what faith. And then when she saw how beautiful Moses was and how he cried, immediately her motherly tendencies came out. Now, Miriam's watching her, and she sees that she needs me to get a Hebrew woman to nurse her. And this was completely act of faith and answer to prayer, because now Moses' mother is getting paid to take care of her child. But she only had a couple years with him. She knew that eventually he would have to go to court where they don't believe in God. And she knew that there'd be influences that she could not control. So in this time, she used such have a firm but gentle continuous press. And so she raised him believing into God and that you are Hebrew and you are meant for greatness. She told him of the basket. And for 12 years, she had him. She prayed every day for Moses, but eventually it was time for him to go. And it was time to become part of the court. Now, for 40 years, he was at court, but not once did he give in and to the bowing down to the idols, and he became amazing. He was a philosopher, a poet, a general. The people loved him, but as a pharaoh, it's mandatory to become part of the priestly caste, and he would not. And they even threatened him to take away his crown and everything, but he said, I worship the God. And they tolerated it because he was such a high standing. He's the grandson of the Pharaoh. So people let it slide, but in their hearts, they're thinking, this boy's Hebrew. Maybe he could turn on us. Well, you know, Moses knew he was Hebrew too, and so he visited the Hebrew people and tried to encourage them and such, but there was just this pain of seeing them suffer. He wanted to help. He wanted to fix it, but his mindset was in the wrong. Now, remember, he is a general. He's used to fighting and, you know, he knows of God, but he hadn't fully trusted God. So when there was a time when he came into the town and he saw an Egyptian beating down a Hebrew. Now, it must have been so bad that he had to intervene, but he ended up killing the Egyptian, and rumors started flying. But before that happened, the next day, he came to the same Hebrew and everything, and there was a fight, and he obviously could tell one was at wrong, so he tried to intervene, be the peacekeeper, and the Hebrew said, you're not the prince of us. Like, are you going to kill me like you killed that Egyptian? And this is when it started getting bad. The rumor started going. And I don't know if you guys ever played the game Telephone, but if you say one thing, it comes out completely different at the other end. So this is what the Pharaoh heard. The Pharaoh heard, oh, Moses is getting all the Hebrews together. He's going to take over your whole kingdom and burn the place to the ground, basically. Like, not exactly what a grandfather would like to hear, especially as Pharaoh. And so Moses ran for his life, because now there was a death decree for him. Now, God led him towards Arabia to Jethro, who was a Midianite who also worshiped God. And he spent 40 years in the desert. Now, this is one of the most important parts in the story, is I feel it is in the quiet of the time is when we are most at our moldable, in a sense where for 40 years he was at court. Now, even though he believed in God and, you know, he was still faithful, there was still influences. It's still there. There's still subconscious there. And he was being molded. Now, God had prepared Moses to be the leader of Israel, but he wasn't ready. Look at his actions when he jumped to kill the Egyptian. He took matters into his own hands, thinking it was more of a physical fight. And if Moses is to ever deliver the people, he would have to go as a shepherd. And that's what he was for 40 years. He was a shepherd. He had to learn how to deny himself. He had to learn to be patient. And I don't know if you've ever been around lambs, but I've had goats, and it takes a lot of patience to lead these things. A lot of patience. And he became a father. He became a husband. All these qualities God needed him to be. And people would say, well, 40 years, that's a waste of time. You know, he could have been doing a lot of other things. No, it took 40 years to undo his thinking, to finally rely on God. And this is even where he wrote the book of Genesis. And so everywhere he could see God's hand, he was no longer impressed seeing the idols and seeing all of Egypt's splendor. He was now at God's resting place. Now one day, he's looking for a lamb, and he sees a burning bush, and it's not being consumed. And the burning bush calls to him. And he says, Moses, take off your sandals. You're on holy ground. And of course he's fearful, but, you know, he approaches. And God tells him, you are the leader that I want you to deliver them, but there's going to be miracles. You need to rely on me. And of course Moses denies, and he said, no, how could it be me? No, I can't do this. And then he was like, the people won't believe me. Who should I say sent me? And God says, I am sent you. I am. And still, he has more excuses. He's still worried, like, well, what proof? What can I give them? He knew that the people were distrusting. The fact that they wouldn't even trust Moses, who was a general, who was widely known and everything, the fact that they wouldn't even listen to him, who would they listen to God if they've been led astray for so long? And so Moses keeps giving all these arguments like, I can't do this. And finally, his last argument was, I can't speak that well. Which at first I used to think he had a speech impediment, but it was actually, he's been away from Egypt for 40 years. Try to remember a language after that many years. He doesn't even remember the Egyptian language. But God responds saying, am I not he that made man's mouth? Am I not he who saved you when you were in a basket? Am I not God who spent the last 80 years molding you for this position, and you dare say that I have it wrong, that this is the wrong person? You know, when I was messing with the clay the other night, is like, imagine if the clay could speak, in a sense where all it's feeling is pressure. So it's like, oh, this is a painful process. Oh, why are you making me mold this way? But I think a key point is, it's the warmth of the hands of the potterer that makes the clay moldable. So what happens when you harden? What happens when clay hardens? You can't mold it anymore. Now, I believe that we are all clay. We all need a little molding, and in fact, we've been molded, in fact, from our parents or influences, all that kind of stuff throughout our whole lives. And it can go good or bad, but it's a process. It's a slow process. And God, who's looking at Moses saying, do you really not trust me that I've been with you for 80 years, that I know what you're capable of, and I also know that I will be there with you? My hands are the ones that are carving this. And it makes me think, we are all vessels. That's the name of the sermon, is vessels. We all have a purpose. Now, all of our callings may be different. Moses was called to lead the people out of Israel. Some are called to be mothers. We all have different callings that make us who we are. And it's those callings that was the molding. That's the molding process. But we all have the same purpose, because we're all clay, so we all have something in common. And so when I was molding the other day, I was thinking, though the process may be different for every single person, you know, our childhood, what God has done individually for our lives, and we all have that calling, there's one thing that brings us together, And as we all have the same light, we are all called to be vessels to carry the same flame. That never changes. And that's why I picked the two verses, because we were called to be light bearers. It's not that we are the light the self. God's the light. That's why it never changes. So I was thinking, when you make a vessel with pottery, there's many ways to do it. You can do the turning wheel, or you can do this method, but in the same, the process may be different, but it's still called to a different vessel. It may turn out like, you could say, there's no vessel like this in the whole wide world, mainly because I did it, and you would hope there's no vessel like this. But the problem, or the solution to that, is everyone's a different vessel, and yet we're still called to do the same thing. Some of us may have had a little harder times in life, or some of us may have a couple cracks. That's what happens when, you know, life gets to us. But even though I said that I'm not a sculptor, I am a painter. And one thing I've learned in painting is that whenever I painted something beautiful and it's perfect, love it. There was no mistakes, nothing. But then there's this painting where you just kind of struggle with, and then you make a mistake, and you look at it, and you're like, I can't use this anymore. This is terrible. And my first reaction is, just throw it away. Let me just paint something else. Let me make something more beautiful. But I decide, no, what can we use for this? How can we incorporate this? And so you eventually incorporate the mistake and make it into something. And I have found, as a painter, that those are the best paintings possible, because there's beauty in there. You realize the mistakes that you put into it, but it's become beautiful. So you think God doesn't know that we have a couple cracks, but in clay, only hardened pottery can break. But in clay, if you stay moldable, God can continuously work in you if you allow him. And yes, it can be, you can choose to decide whether it's a painful process or maybe it's a peaceful process. It is all up to you. That's the free will. But this is what God does every single day, is here you are. This is you through your whole life, your mistakes, your blessings, your failures, everything. And every day he pulls you off the shelf and asks you, would you like to be continued to be molded? And you have the choice to say yes or no. You can decide whether to stay hardened. And what makes us hard is holding on to something that we weren't supposed to. We think, no, I want to look this way. No, I want to be this kind of vessel or something. But God knows exactly who you are, and he knows exactly what you're capable of. And he's just waiting for you to say, let me mold you. Every day is a gift. That's why it's a daily commitment, because every day you say, God, please mold me. And, you know, people could say, oh, well, you know, I have so many years of mistakes and all this kind of stuff. Look at Moses. He was 80 years old by the time he got to his calling. But it was the process of the molding that is the most important part of the story. And though I'm not exactly the best at pottery, but I wanted to show you guys, it is a continuous thing. And be thankful that God's hands are warm. It's God's hands that are continuously in our life, that is continuously molding. And there was this song that I heard. It's called Broken Vessels. And I remember when I first heard that, I was thinking, I had a whole different idea for a sermon. It was going to go a totally different way. And I heard this song, and I'm like, this is the song, isn't it? And I had to change the whole sermon. So to be honest, this sermon's actually pretty new within the last couple days. So it's been a trust, definitely. But I hope you enjoy it. Thank you. gathered, mended and whole, empty-handed, but not forsaken. I've been set free, I've been set free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. Take our failures, you take our weakness, you set your treasures in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be a vessel, the world to see your love in. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now. I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. And I'll close with this. It's a scripture verse. Three of them, actually, but I found that they completely flow together. For it is God who works in you, both to will and do his good pleasure, being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you and will complete it as till the day of Jesus Christ. For he has saved us and called us for a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So what I want to say is, you can decide to let God mold you. And maybe you can ask him, maybe I just want to be a candlestick. But if you continue to let him mold you, you can become a lighthouse. And the flame is still the same. And we'll close with that. Please bow on your heads with me.
Heavenly Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for staying with us even when we seem to be hard, even when we have a couple scratches. All you ask of us is to stay moldable. If we continue to hear your call, we can all be lighthouses. We can all share the same light, which is you, Lord. I pray that every day we will come to you and say, yes, I want to be molded. Yes, I want the calling. And yes, I want to be a lighthouse. Thank you, Father, once again. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Now,